afraid. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Ron is dead.
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Little Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Well, Dick, well, yeah.
Now, that's why they call me Cudsy.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
I'll get up around 10 a.m., eat a bowl of pasta. Pasta.
Pasta.
Coming
in here must have been very difficult without his pasta.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Yeah. Good morning, everyone. We're the Toucher and Rich radio program on a foggy morning in Boston, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
Foggy morning.
And it's going to be 75 on Saturday. Is that correct?
No. Well, it depends who you look at.
31 now, 75, or at least what I've heard, close to that on Saturday.
We're going right from winter to summer.
I got no problem with that. No problem with that.
No spring.
None whatsoever. Yep. Just as long as winter's over,
it's
I don't
fine.
Care.
There's no. Well, it gets probably down to the 40s again right after that.
Sure, Marathon Monday is supposed to be rain and 40. So.
Oh, Marathon Monday is supposed to be rain and 40?
Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, it fantastic.
Is. It's like going to be, I think it switched from being like light rain in the afternoon to light rain in the morning.
Yeah.
So.
If you don't know, Rich, and we haven't talked about it on the air, but Rich's wife is running the Boston Marathon.
She is, and first time. And she has had a disastrous training regimen because she started. She was going to start. She announced that she was going to be doing it to raise money for Dana-Farber in the end of October. And almost immediately afterwards, like the day after she announced it so she could raise money, she broke her toe. So for like 6 weeks, she couldn't run. And then after that, it's almost as soon as she started training again, she, because of her low immunity, got the shingles. So for almost 7 weeks, she couldn't run after that. And then she got this like weird flu thing. So basically, she's been training for a marathon for only like 5 weeks now.
Oh boy.
Which is nuts. But she got up to 14 miles the other day. Like, I know, like a week ahead of time, you do your last big run. And she used to run a lot before she got sick. So she got up to 14 miles. And I guess that's pretty good because most people who run the marathon try not to do too much more than that anyway on their big run beforehand. But now there's all this weird stuff you don't even think about, like the weird gels you got to eat along the way because you burn so many calories, and half the stuff she's tried is disgusting. And, mm-hmm. Now there's the fanny packs that all these marathon runners have to run with that keeps all their gels and crap in it and stuff. It is like quite the task, and
makes you wonder how people ran marathons for 40 years.
I know. Well, I mean, now it's, you know, completely different. So, and now if it rains, if it rains a ton, like if it's a big rain, that's the only thing that would keep her from running because she could get the flu and it could be bad for her because of what she's got. However, if it's like a light rain, now we got a whole process.
How do you make that call?
Well, it's, you just
what
make
rain,
it.
How heavy is heavy? I mean, I guess
if she's like in it and it starts raining a ton and she just knows she's going to get sick, she just has to stop running.
Yeah.
But now we got a process. Now what happens is I have to go and get a second pair of shoes for her and like some socks. So if it's like light raining, she can't obviously run in wet shoes the entire time. She'll get sick. So I'm going to have to meet her halfway
stuff. How will she know where you are?
Okay, so this is something I still have to figure out. But I do believe there is a like a chip that everyone has that you can actually
yes.
look online and
if
monitor where they are.
In their body?
Every runner's got
the
one.
The tongue of the shoe.
Yeah. You put it in the shoe.
I'm obviously joking,
John.
I understand it, but I'm telling you where specifically.
Oh,
not like clipped
you.
On the belt or anything.
Okay,
like that.
It's in the shoe.
Yes. The shoe.
And you're saying it's in the shoe.
She's also got yes. a phone with her, and so I can call her and find out where she is. But I think the plan is for now, I'm going to have an extra set of socks and shoes just in case. at like Natick. I guess I'm going to meet her like halfway, kind of where that is, and try to slip it to her, and so she can put extra shoes and socks on. And then I'm meeting her at the finish line. So the whole thing's just like,
well, she won't win if she has to. She has to change shoes and socks.
Well, that's her goal. And if she doesn't win, she's going to think it was all for nothing. So, yeah, unfortunately. No, this is how low of a chance she has of doing anything. Like, her, you know, they stagger the times when people start. Like, she's starting at, like, 2 in the afternoon. Like, I mean, like way in the back. She's like the last chute to run.
She's like when they let you cross the street. Like,
Right. Like, she's going to be running across the finish line when there's, like, the drunk guys from the Red Sox game, like fumbling into Boylston Street. She's going to have to be like hurdling those people to get there. I think they take down or they stop announcing numbers like around 5, and we timed everything out, and we're like, if she runs this at kind of like a normal pace that we're like hoping or expecting, she's just barely going to make it there in time. Like, I think she honestly starts like around
15. Call Dan. I'm sure he'll stay.
Is Roach doing the name
Roach always? I don't know for sure, but Roach has done it all these years in a row. I'm sure if you asked Dan to stay an extra 15 minutes, he would.
He takes great pleasure in that.
No one worth a damn's hanging out at like 4 and calling the names. Like, that's like the people who are doing it like Mary is.
You don't think if you called Dan Roach and said Mary's due in at 4:15, he wouldn't stay 15
extra
minutes?
That's a big-ass sports day. I mean, that's not only the marathon for the station, but also you got the baseball game. I mean,
and then Rich also is the one who said that if he was a healthcare provider, and if you got off at 5 o'clock, that you would leave if someone told you they had been driving there for 90 minutes. So it would be very hypocritical for him to ask.
Yeah, Dan, I'm not going to ask Dan to do that. Also, Dan's got stuff he's got to do that day. Like, I mean, that's a. And I'm not. Who cares?
Yeah,
I mean, they announce your name.
Why would
she
care?
Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
Right? Okay,
just the fact that she does it is going to be
right.
Cool enough, but I mean, you want to talk about just a million things you don't even think about, and now you're getting, and now Mary's mom wants to go to the starting line with him, but you can't do that. Like, you're not allowed in that area, and she's having a fit, so it's just...
Sounds like fun.
It's quite the process. But she's raised a ton of money. Like, that's the good thing. Like, BZ did a special on her, or a special little segment, a little 5-minute thing they put up there. And that helped. And also the listeners and everyone has donated. But she's raised a ton of money for Dana-Farber. So she damn well better run.
That's
she
right.
She can't give up now.
She's got to finish that thing.
She's stuck.
With a respectable time.
That's right. So
under 3 hours is what I'm expecting.
Well, under 3 hours is what she's expecting. And if not, it's basically going to be all for nothing.
That's right.
So
under 3 hours, and I know the times are staggered, but top 20. Top 20 finish.
Oh, it's just
that's what you're thinking.
The way people wreck themselves just getting ready for this, and I mean, it's
terrible for you.
It's like, you know, we've seen pictures of the toenails coming off and all this crazy stuff like that, and like, you know, she surprisingly, knock on wood, everything in her training's been going well, and I just know that it's going to be a month afterwards of just recovering and getting your body back to where it's supposed to be, because man, I walk every marathon Monday because I live down there. I walk past the finish line where it's just people sitting on the curb, like lying on the sidewalk in their silver wrap that they have, the, you know, where they become a human burrito, and it's just, it's pain. It's pain.
I told you what I used to do when I used to work. A member of the media, the Copley Plaza Hotel is where the media go and they get updated. And you get really excited about it. You know, this is a really great event. I'm going to run that. I've told you guys this story before. The last thing I always did before I head back to my car was walk through the medic tent.
Oh, yeah.
Which is right next to the finish line.
It's crazy.
And the pain and suffering that goes on inside of there.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's really psyched to finish, and then the adrenaline wears off about, I don't know, 2-3 minutes later, and you stumble into that tent, and it's awful.
All that being said, of course, notwithstanding what happened 5 years ago, like, Marathon Monday is one of my favorite days of the year, because what you get to see, like, around 4, 5 o'clock is that wonderful chaos of people, you know, crossing the finish line, and all of the drunk people who have had the day off, who are coming out of all the bars on Boylston, and it becomes just, like, honestly, like, you're dodging the drunks getting to the finish line, but everyone's in a good mood. Like, everyone's having a great time. And on top of that, almost always, it's like the first great day of the year, like, as far as weather is concerned. So it's usually like an amazing party. This is the first year I will not be drinking on Marathon Monday, because I'll be running all around town.
Yeah. I always go to the Red Sox game. That's at 11 o'clock, first pitch. And we get up early in the morning. That's a disaster.
Oh, yeah, sure. And everyone's like that too.
That day is a disaster.
Everyone, because you have to get up early to get inside those bars.
Yeah.
that are by the finish line. And every year I usually have some sort of like bar gig
right
down there, and it's a blast. Like everyone has just agreed in this town that we are going to wake up early to go drink at 7 a.m. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, the train coming back from the Red Sox game is always fun.
And then getting home, you got to cross ComAv to get home.
No. I leave my car here, and then I...
Okay.
You get good at it after a while.
And then I Uber.
Trust me, the marathon route goes right by my house. Absolutely.
And then I Uber to the game, and then I take the train home from the game, and then I take an Uber here in the morning.
No, after all these years, I mean, it used to be, you remember, when we first started, I was looking at Google Maps. How the hell am I going
to
get home?
Well, they used
and then finally you figure it out.
Yeah. Well, they used to let you cross
right
Commonwealth before 5 years ago. I mean, I could park. I have a fairly easy, like a 2 miles to Commonwealth.
Mm-hmm.
And so I used to be able to park my car, like, you know, in the neighborhood and then walk across Commonwealth Avenue, but they don't let you do that anymore. So, so you would have to take the freeways and everything. So, so for 7 years, I've been going to that Red Sox game, and that's a humdinger.
Yeah, that's all right.
Well, it's,
where are we broadcasting for? Not us, the show. Like, where
it's going to be one of those bars, and then they'll put me on the air,
which is always great. It's once again Marathon Monday is one of my favorite days of the year, except for obviously what happened a couple
it's
years
a tradition.
Ago. It's great.
It's a tradition, Fred.
I
go with the same guy every year.
Yep.
And the other year, last year, he got, like, we both were really drunk. And he, inexplicably, got off at, in Brookline, at, like, one of the Brookline stops. And he lives in Newtonville. And he walked probably about 5 miles, just all around, and his wife couldn't find him or get him because of the way the marathon was going. So the whole process of him getting home, I think he got home at like midnight. Because he just kept stopping in bars and like pizza places.
See, that's
and, like, and like trying to figure out how to get home.
It's too tempting, man. On a day like that, every bar, like everyone's having a blast. You're like,
it was more like delirium that he. But it's okay. So it's supposed to be 57 with rain.
Okay, 57 with rain, but just like a light rain.
I can handle that.
Yeah.
40 in rain is just really uncomfortable.
Yeah. And you know what? A light rain might actually help the runners.
It does.
Sure. So,
but you ask a runner, they'd much rather have it be in the 50s than 70.
Well, I'll tell you this. Yep. Don't worry about it getting into the 60s anytime soon after Saturday. It's going to be... Jesus.
Is it going to get cold again?
Well, not cold, but 50s. I mean, lows in the 30s. When we come into work, it will be in the 30s.
Cool.
There's a snowflake that comes on my my dashboard.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I haven't had that in the morning for about a year.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
That's right. Okay, we'll catch up with everything that had happened yesterday, including humdinger, including Grand Salami, baby. Woo! Look at that thing go.
It's T&R. T&R, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
Okay, keep doing it.
Recapping what you missed with Toucher and Rich.
The Sports Hub or Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, the Red Sox play their first real competition of the season and promptly blow their doors off.
And the 0-1 with that infield in tight. Fly ball into right field. Closing on a Judge over near the line. He will make the catch. Tagging up Mookie Betts. He will score. Down to third is Benintendi. Red Sox on top, 5-0.
Well, that is Nesson, and that was fun. Not just the 14-1 beatdown that the Red Sox laid on the Yankees last night, but the subsequent videos of pissed off Yankees fans being escorted out of Fenway Park after they took out their anger on fans, ushers, and each other. I miss that, and I'm glad it's back. And the one guy you can thank more than anyone for the team's offensive explosion is Mookie Betts.
Let's see if they stay upstairs with the fastball on a no-ball, two-strike count.
He puts him away. That did didn't take long. 95.
Well, that is not the clip I wanted. Let's see if this is the one.
Okay, looking to do a little more damage. Here comes the 2-1. There's a shot.
That's
high
the
and deep to left. Carrying back. It's gone. A grand slam.
Swami.
There you go.
Yeah, touch them all, Mook.
You got close to having two salamis last night. J.D. Yeah. Martinez was like a couple of feet away.
Yeah, you had a little ham sandwich there.
Yeah.
Not quite a salami sandwich.
Right. Just, that's ham?
Yeah, well,
bologna.
No, bologna. Bologna's a can of corn. That's what a bologna is. This is a hammer.
Sure.
Right there on the warning track. Come on, sandwich.
Not only did he get the grand slam in the sixth, but it was also the first time in his career that he scored five runs. He went 4 for 4 and was unstoppable last night. Chris Sale was excellent as well, throwing 36 of his 46 pitches for strikes. And poor Giancarlo Stanton. He struck out his first two times at bat on just 7 pitches, which made me think, oh, please, give us another platinum sombrero. Make it happen.
Yeah.
What a disaster that would be, however he ended up finishing 2 for 4. Either way, what a statement game for the Red Sox. Here is Chris Sale afterwards.
Yeah, felt good tonight. Helps when they score 2 touchdowns and kick both field goals, so that's nice.
Yep, and Alex Cora, he gave us a little bit of an update on Xander Bogaerts last night.
Obviously, yeah, Xander is an elite shortstop. When he comes back, he comes back. You know, I'm not going to rush him. I'm not going to push him to come sooner rather than later. Hopefully, he recovers and he's back. And we got to move on. We got to keep playing. You know, we got a good team, and we're deep enough that for the period of time that he's going to be away, we're going to be comfortable with whoever he's playing short.
Yeah, that was actually fun as hell to watch last night. Now, the one bit of strange news to come out of yesterday's game is that despite the high drama on the field and maybe a rivalry renewed, last night's game was not a sellout. Ticket sales are still down for the season. They announced that yesterday. Very interesting that this big, brand-new Yankees team with Giancarlo Stanton, that game did not... did not reach capacity yesterday evening.
I wouldn't have sat there.
Well,
I wouldn't have sat there.
See, but tickets sold are different than actually, you know, being there. You would have thought at least it was
happening.
Sold out.
Tickets are down across the, sales are down across the board for Major League Baseball, but to not sell out a Red Sox-Yankees game is interesting. I mean, maybe the Red Sox finally have reached that tipping point of
where it's
price.
Too expensive, yeah.
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 I mean, it is pot. We've all been waiting for this to happen for years. I mean, the Red Sox have the convenient excuse, smallest ballpark, you know, and highest payroll. The money has to come from somewhere, but maybe they've priced people out on beer and on tickets and on souvenirs and on parking. I mean, it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, I mean, especially for a Yankee game. I mean, there used to be serious price gouging for Yankee game parking.
Well,
until
no,
the mayor
finally stepped
in. I mean,
they have different prices for different games, correct?
Yeah. Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Yankee games are more expensive.
Yeah, and so the beauty of baseball is the ability, and I've said this forever, and it's different here, but it's going to get like this again. And I know because I saw Clemens games in the 80s where there was barely anyone in the stands, is that the beauty of baseball is that there's so many games. Is that you are the ability to just walk up and go or make the decision during the day to go to a game, like on a Sunday morning to wake up, have breakfast, and go, do you guys want to go to the game? Now, regardless, it is not something that warrants $120 for a ticket. It just doesn't. It's not a good enough experience. It doesn't warrant that.
Did you see the picture that Dan O'Brien sent us last night of the attendance at the White Sox versus the Rays game? Now,
yeah.
I think the paid attendance was something like 7,000, but they actually reported the amount of people who went through the turnstiles, and it was 948 people. 948 people, and they said that that's the lowest attendance since there was that game that was with the Baltimore Orioles where they essentially shut off people from coming in because of
the
riots outside.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, I would say that if you're comparing that crowd to one that didn't allow the public in because of a riot, then you have a little bit of an issue. How can you sustain, as a franchise, only having 948 people show up to your game? Like, just think about the amount of people you have to pay to run that place. It can't be worth it if you've got that many people showing up.
No. No, I would imagine. Well, no, just the amount of people on the field, too, but price per game.
And that's in Chicago, too, not Tampa. That's Chicago. Right. In a city that big, no, you White can only get 948 people to show up.
The White Sox have to be so good for people to go to those games, because I refuse to go to Cub games. So every time if I want to go to a game, I'll go to the White Sox.
Sure.
And no, I'm not giving the Cubs my money under any circumstance.
Those pictures are just awesome. I would honestly like to know, like, what it costs to just run a game. Like, for them to open the stadium, get all the people there to, you know, how much the energy costs for the lights to be on, you know, all that stuff. How much does that cost versus how much you made from 948 people showing up?
You have to go to the south side. You actually have to travel. You have to go to an area that's not so nice.
Correct.
When you could just go and, you know, go to the Billy Goat Tavern.
Go to Wrigleyville. Safe there.
But you're very safe. It's like a nice carnival there for you.
But that was awesome last night because, you know, this was the first game where they played somebody that wasn't just a pile of garbage, and they absolutely destroyed them. And on top of that, as I was saying, it is kind of cool to be going online and seeing that there's actual hatred. There's Yankees fans there who are getting in fights, and they want it, and they're getting pissed off. And then there's, you know, you heard the Yankees suck chant. It's the first time I've heard Yankees suck chanted at Fenway in like 5 years, and it not be just like a pink hat thing. Like, it actually meant something. You know, everyone, there's real hatred in a rivalry once again. And I got to think that you, John Wallach, are fairly excited about what this team's been able to show.
9-1. I mean, again, it's really, really early, but it's nice to see. And Betts, I read an interesting article this morning about Betts. Alex Cora, who's the bench coach in Houston, shared with Mookie the scouting report that the Astros had on him in the playoffs. And basically it said, Betts isn't going to swing at the first couple of pitches each at-bat until the third at-bat. So Mookie was starting at-bats in an 0-2 hole most of the time because everyone knew if they threw strikes, they'd get ahead of him. So they just said, you know, you need to swing the bat earlier, and here you have it. He's off to a great start. And that certainly helps at the top of that order. So
they'll never figure it out.
Yeah, right.
It's good that Cora announced that.
Now
everyone will know.
That's right. Now that he's adjusted, everyone else is going to change their game plan. Damn it. Why did I read that?
Well, you would?
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't you change your game plan against him?
Yep. You would.
Wouldn't you? Because if you
After
were,
seeing how aggressive he's been the first week and a half, yes.
Right. If you were throwing strikes the first couple pitches because you knew he would take them, now you're going to change your game plan.
That's right. Core, that's kind of dumb. Why would you announce that?
I'm not joking.
No, I'm.
Well, he said he's going to be facetious. Honest. He expects his players
to
be honest.
I'm actually not being facetious. You're right. Why would you announce that ruin the adjustment that your best hitter has made?
I'm sure someone would figure it out anyway. But I mean, he's touting his own genius basically at that point.
Yeah,
he's saying, you know, look at what I did. I figured this out.
Did you see Cora actually admitted to making a mistake?
I saw that. He said he expects his players to be honest, so he's going to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, the Red Sox had that big 6-run bottom of the 8th to take the lead in their last game, and then J.D. Martinez was still out in left field in the 9th instead of a better defensive player. And they asked him why. He said because the manager got so excited about the comeback, he forgot. I mean, when was the last time you heard a manager say that?
You won't hear that for long, by the way.
Well, maybe not, but for now, I find it very refreshing.
If you're a manager, you can't be admitting mistakes like that all the time. Well, the Celtics played last night, and they played their starters, and it's time to get excited for the playoffs if you're a Celtics fan. Here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Enjoy football, food, and more with Tom Brady and the Best Buddies Challenge. June 1st and 2nd. Register today at TeamTomBrady.com. Rich, the Celtics played last night.
Yeah, if last night's Celtics game was a playoff preview, then the Celtics aren't ready for the playoffs.
Scott has to be a 1-2. Right side is good. Score and the foul.
Contact, arm, and foul went under the shooter. Splash.
This one is starting to slip away from the Celtics. Peel trying to make it a 14-point game with 8:57 to go.
Well, in a game where the Celtics could have eliminated the Wizards from a round one matchup with Boston, the Celtics disappeared in the second half and fall to Washington 113-101. Jaylen Brown was an absolute monster in the first quarter, scoring 21 points in that frame alone.
Now the Celtics have numbers the other way. Larkin shovels back for the trailer. Jaylen Brown, another three. His fifth of the opening quarter, just days removed from a career high 7. He's got 5 in the first and the Celtics lead by 11.
Gosh. Well, after that, not so much. In the final three quarters, the Wizards were able to shut him down, holding him to 6 points after that. Meanwhile, John Wall, he just carved up the Celtics defense, getting his 29 points and 12 assists. And the players not named Jaylen Brown, who are going to have to come up big in the playoffs, were no-shows. Jason Tatum, Al Horford, Terry Rozier, and Marcus Morris combined for 10 for 43 shooting and 3 for 17 from the three-point line. Egads. Here is Brad Stevens after the game.
I didn't think either team played great. I mean, I'll let Scott judge his own team, right? But in the first half, and then I thought they were good coming out of the gate in the second, and you know, obviously took it to us.
So Jaylen Brown knows that this team has to wake up if they want to make any kind of headway in the playoffs.
You know, it's just a mindset, a level of focus that we've got to get back to, and like understanding, like, this is it. So we got to come out and compete. So getting in that mindset is what it's going to take.
Last night is exactly why I don't want the Celtics to play Washington in the first round. That team gets under the Celtics' skin like no team I've seen them play this year. John Wall frustrates the hell out of these guys. On top of that, there's players like Gortat. There's too much talent on that team, despite the dysfunction that has happened behind the scenes this season. Way too much talent, at least on paper, and the Celtics seem to always get stifled by that.
As a Celtic fan, I had forgotten about the playoffs last year. It's real easy to hate the Washington Wizards.
It's amazingly real easy to hate. I hate Gortat. I hate John Wall's got that face that he makes. Yeah. Like he smelled a fart whenever he's like in the zone. Yeah. It drives me crazy.
Otto Porter, Kelly Oubre, all of them.
And Beal's just like sneaky good. So it's like, I mean, that team is, and I can't stand them, but more than anything, I can't stand them because I don't think the Celtics can beat them in a 7-game series because you saw the starters out there. So this is going to be interesting. Every team in the East plays tonight, and there are about 12 different scenarios that will determine whether or not the Celtics play the Heat, the Bucks, or the Wizards in round one. The reason I know that there's 12 different scenarios is that Sean Grady tweeted out every single one of them.
That's right.
It was just this list of
eight scenarios.
Oh, it's only eight. Okay,
well, it's only eight.
Either way, it was like if the Bucks win, the Heat lose, and the Wizards win.
That's
it's
right.
Like every combination that you could put out there, he's got it. Now
there are eight scenarios, four of which involve Miami.
Okay, that's what I was about to say.
He loves the math. He loves the uncertainty. He loves putting things into places. He's a Tetris guy.
Give me the scenarios. The two
you
scenarios.
Want me to read all eight?
No. The two scenarios in which the Celtics will play the Wizards, because that's the only thing I'm worried about right now.
If Milwaukee wins, Washington wins, and Miami loses tonight.
Okay.
That's one way of doing it.
All right, Miami is not going to lose, and the reason is that they're playing the Raptors.
Right.
And the Raptors have nothing to play for, and every starter is going to be on the bench.
Yes. And the other one is if Milwaukee loses and Washington and Miami both win.
Okay. So go Milwaukee. And you just want Washington to lose. Because now listen, the one thing about Milwaukee is that at least they've got like one player.
That's right.
And with one player, Brad Stevens can probably figure out a way to at least quiet down Giannis Antetokounmpo. Washington's too good. They're losing round one if the Celtics play Washington. And it didn't take last night for me to think that. I've been on this train for a while now.
Scott Brooks is not in control of that team. That's the only thing. Brooks has no control over those players at all. And they played very well last night, but they could easily go the other way as well if one little thing goes wrong.
Yeah, without a doubt. But the Celtics have to play their final game tonight against the Nets. TD Garden, tip-off is at 8 p.m. right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
8 p.m.?
Yep, it is a national game.
Everybody, so I believe. I have to double-check, but all the games that I saw start at 8. I think everybody starts at the same time.
Wow. On the final day of the regular season.
What an exciting time.
And quickly, some good Bruins news. The Bruins practiced in their first practice in preparation for tomorrow night's game one against the Leafs, and both Rick Nash and Sean Corrali took the ice. Not on the ice, however, was either Riley Nash or Nola Chari. So obviously that is some excellent news for this team. And of course you can hear game one right here tomorrow night on 98.5 of Sports.
I heard that Riley Nash is going to play, and they had Gianta playing center on the third line to keep the chemistry going with Backes and Corrali.
Yeah, Gianta was out, right. He was centering the line. Do you heard that Riley Nash is going to come back?
Yes. I've heard that he is coming back. And that
for game one or just back at some point?
Game one.
Wow. Okay.
And that they had Gianta out there just to keep the chemistry going with the two wings. So that is what I have heard.
And Gianta, Heinen, and Backes, not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad?
Not Corrali, yeah. Heinen and Backes. So mm-hmm.
Corrali was centering the fourth line.
My bad.
It was Schaller and Wingles down there.
That's correct.
Was Donato kind of coming in and they're trying
Donato
to
Donato looks like he's going to be the, at Donato, the moment,
Donato
looks like he's
going to
be the healthy scratch.
Yeah, he is not playing in game one. Donato is not playing in game one.
We talked about this last week, about that possibility.
Yeah, he's not playing in game one, but I have heard Riley Nash is going to center the third line. Now, if he doesn't, I'll give everyone $1 million. Ray Lewis talked. He was on the Colin Cowherd show. He was weighing in on Odell Beckham. We will discuss that in just a moment.
What is your opinion?
Simple. We really got to remove pride. Seriously.
So there's egos involved.
Come on. There's no other reason the issue is going on. That's why I don't get into word and a lot of all that other stuff, because it takes away from life itself. Man, there are people who's really struggling. For real. There's real struggles out there. What we're going through right now, we're affecting way more than us.
How so?
Yeah. It's too many people live through us. People live through us. Yeah. Walking the streets the way I walk the streets. I'm not talking about the people who see all the time.
People who work in stadiums.
Yes.
Fans.
Yes. Yes. Who their livelihoods do this research if we don't have a season. Watch how much evil, which we call a crime, watch how much crime picks up.
985 The Sports Hub. We are Tucker and Rich. That is Ray Lewis, which I contend is the dumbest thing I've ever heard a quote-unquote sane athlete say. I mean, there's been maniacs that have said other stuff, but Ray Lewis sitting down for an interview, even Sal Palantonio is trying to give him an out by saying, you mean the people that work at the stadiums? He's saying, no, society as a whole will fall apart if there's not football, because people live through them. Talk about an inflated sense of self.
Watch how much evil, or as you call it, crime.
That's right.
Just talk about thinking what you're doing is way more important than it is.
Look how many people will do what I did in the early 2000s. How many stabbings?
Yeah, he...
Or at least I was accused of being a part of.
He is someone that is not smart.
No.
But I believe that he is brought in particularly for that reason. Because he keeps losing full-time jobs, which I hate. But then he, like, it's usually Fox. He's, like, popping around Fox Sports.
Yeah, they kind of have him as one of the standby guys.
On retainer.
Yeah, right. He's like what Michael Hurley is to the NBC Sports boss. They just call him in when they need him. Here comes Ray Lewis. Just pops on in every once in a while. He was asked yesterday.
Well, he would say... Loud, very loud, and very breathing. So I'm talking a voice like this.
So he was on.
Enunciate weirdly.
The Colin Cowherd show, and he was asked about a bunch of different things, but then the subject of Odell Beckham Jr. was brought up, and here's what the great Ray Lewis had to say.
Odell Beckham Jr., who is looking for a new deal.
Odell Beckham was on the market. Nobody offered. Yeah. L.A. Rams, I was told the Rams vetted him. Didn't love what they hear.
Yeah.
If you could sit down for 10 minutes with Odell Beckham, what would you tell him?
Oh, boy.
Have you heard this?
I stopped. Well, I figured we were going to play it, so I stopped. Right, okay. I watched the first part, and then I figured.
Like, I want to hear it fresh. Okay.
Yeah, I figured.
All right. Well,
this.
I mean, then you don't even need to guess where this is going.
Yeah, it's going to go to the Bible. I mean, he's going to start about God.
More than that, let's.
Where there's no God, there's chaos. Odell has removed God from his life. This is a kid that grew up under the covenant of who God really is. And everything that he's doing, he's crying out for help. We have a lot of people reporting about him, but it's always been the duty of elders to go back to help them.
Like in Clash of the Titans. The elders have to come by and say, like Yoda, hey, Odell, be with...
I can't remember how Yoda talks.
be with God, will I?
That's right.
All done.
Hey, God, come over here. I'm the little green guy. A training camp. You must. Hey, Odell. Cut that yellow thing off your hair. You will. Look at me. I got big ears.
And this is Ray Lewis Yoda.
This is Yoda Ray Lewis.
This is Ray Lewis Yoda.
Ray, it's Ray Yoda. Yoda Ray Lewis is.
It's Ray Yoda.
Ray Yoda.
That's right.
That's right.
Ray Yoda, what do you have to say to Odell Beckham Jr.?
Stupid am I.
Ray Yoda.
Ray Yoda. Inarticulate I am. Hey everybody, you're gonna put me on TV and I'm gonna say something dumb. Say something dumb. Say something dumb. Please go with God. Or as you call it, evil do you.
All right. So Ray Lewis. The elders must come by.
The elder.
You got to get Kiss's very controversial concept album. The Elder.
You're going to go with the Kiss album. The Elder.
They did it with Bob Ezrin.
Bob Ezrin, I think.
Shut up. They bought it. Kiss's very controversial concept album, The Elder. I just love that they have to get the elders, the guys with robes.
All right, all gather around and discuss Odell Beckham.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm Osominic.
This is a kid that grew up under the covenant of who God really is. And everything that he's doing, he's crying out for help. We have a lot of people reporting about him, but it's always been the duty of elders to go back to help them. So that's why I raised my hand. And I told him, I'm here, whatever you need.
What are you saying?
I raised my hand in my car.
No one could see you at the time, but yes.
Well, if you was in a car next to me, you could.
Right.
I was in a limousine.
Right.
You ever seen the movie Big?
Yes.
I was in a limousine, and I came out the top of it, and I just started waving my
arms. Oh, okay.
All right.
The movie Big.
My apartment is a lot like the movie Big.
Really?
Oh, wow.
I got sweet video games.
You got a trampoline, too?
No, I have a piano that you jump on.
Oh, okay.
Scoop a ba da do da ba da ding dong ding.
Cool bug beds.
I hit the bottom, I call it.
Somebody just said,
get rid of that white suit. I did.
It's Ray Yoda.
It was never proven. So that's why I raised my hand. And I told him, I'm here. Whatever you need.
What do you say?
It's not what he said. It was the commitment. It was that I didn't even really talk to him.
Well, what did he say?
Well, I mean, nothing really. I never really called him. I raised my hand. I just told you. I said, ooh. I'm Ray Horseshack.
Ray Horseshack. Mr. Cartier.
Horseshack Ray Lewis.
Horseshack Ray Lewis. Ooh. Mr. Cartier. Whatever you need.
What do you say?
Well, it's not what he said. It was the commitment he started to make. So we started to make those phone calls. We started to have conversation. And then I started to see he started to distance himself a little more, and a little more. And the moment, just listen to me, Colin. I don't care about religion. I'm talking.
What? Wait, by the way, all of a sudden he's made this all about himself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is, I mean, come on. There's Mad Libs with him. It's all the same. And that's exactly why they have this guy on, is because they know it's just going to be nonsense. I want this play. Oh, whoops.
I'm talking about a foundation.
when your foundation is disturbed, when everything you're doing is the opposite of what's got you to this place,
yes,
then you're making your own bed hard.
In Baton Rouge, it was football.
It's simple. It's simple.
His life is less football today.
It's less football. Guess why? I tell people this all the time. I just spoke at this church a couple of days ago. You show me your crowd, I will show you your future.
Oh, okay.
The okay, people. Yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Man, Justin Timberlake ain't never played no football.
That's right. That's right. Well, you want to get with Joey Fatone.
Boy, Andre Lewis.
Everybody. Yeah. I forget the rest
of somebody.
Everybody get to Warden tonight. Ray loses back. All right.
Backstreet Ray.
That one kid from 98 Degrees was ugly.
which one is that?
They had to dye his hair to make him look different. Yeah. All right, here we go.
Man, Justin Timberlake ain't never played no football. I love Justin. Right. But Justin ain't getting out there on that grind like that.
Yeah.
These guys he hanging out with.
So the problem is he's hanging out with Justin Timberlake?
Yeah. So, by the way, Odell Beckham hasn't, like, committed any crimes that I know of, has he? Okay.
No.
I mean, there was that picture that was with that woman who happened to might have some coke. But he hasn't, like, committed any crimes. And by the way, how does he know he's not going to church? And he's lost Jesus. Is that because he's not talking to you anymore? Maybe it's because you're bat crap insane.
Well, he's hanging out with that ne'er-do-well Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, right, who obviously is a horrible influence on human beings.
Yeah, and also this Norwegian death metal group, but he's hanging out with Justin Timberlake.
And by the way, I didn't even think it was Justin Timberlake. I think it was Justin Bieber.
Well, that makes more sense than Timberlake.
They're in studios all night. They don't have to get up. They don't have a time clock. They don't have no discipline when it comes to athleticism.
Right. It's a different discipline.
It's a totally different discipline.
Yeah.
And when you see this, what Odell is...
So you should hang out with only people that play sports professionally?
Yes, that is what he's saying.
Stay away from that accounts receivable man. He's going to lead you down a road of numbering. How's he going to... He don't play football, get away.
And when you see this, what Odell is doing to himself, I'm not gonna just gonna call him out. I'm gonna call him. See, a lot of people calling him out, disappointed. No. What I'm disappointed in is we had an agreement as men, and the difference of me and everybody else, I don't need nothing or want nothing from you. But when you tell me you want me in your life to help you, when you tell me that we'll be accountable.
How can you leave me?
By the way, he's done this with like every person about. I reached out to him, and I said, let's pray together.
I mean, you said you wanted to go out, and now I'm sitting here, and the phone isn't ringing. I'm getting a little FOMO.
Fear I'm missing out. You're having fun without me.
Odell, come on. You're half an hour late. At least, are you okay? Just return my message.
With reading our Bibles and sharing scriptures.
And it just doesn't work.
And it don't happen.
Yeah.
Then you wonder why things around you starts to happen.
Things will happen to start, says I.
All right, so we will return.
The games are only